And I'm the type of person, I'm still to this day, like, see red, and then 3 seconds later, I'm like, what's wrong? What's happening? Why is everyone so mad at me? Like, whoa. We're fine.
Yeah.
Still like that as a, I'm trying to work through that as an adult.
BNT, bitch nauseous tenyo.
However, happy live.
Woo!
Woohoo! Our last live before our finale.
Ooh.
Can you believe it?
No.
Every week I'm like, oh, we're getting so close to the finale.
I know.
We are so close to the finale. And if you want to join us for our finale episode, we will record that on May 9th. So if you have questions, comments, please get them in, because that episode will go live May 15th. Want it? You want to send some finale goodness for me to read, or some
please,
stuff from
share it,
us
share
to
it.
Discuss?
This is the end of season two.
WeAreLiarsPod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. This, you know, if you know, you know, with this finale. So, and if you don't know, you'll soon find out.
That's right.
But we're discussing episode 22 of season two, "Father Knows Best," aired February 27th, 2012. I'm looking at February and I'm going December. No, that's not December.
Winter,
it's February.
Is winter, right?
Yes. Written by Brian Holden and Charlie Craig. Directed by Chad Lowe. This summary kills me now. One father has a guilty conscience. One has a daughter he doesn't trust. One is hiding a secret from his daughter, and the other is MIA. It's not the ideal time for the annual father-daughter dance. Good job, Google. Good job. I was like, well, I have to keep that in because that's a great summary.
Which one is which?
Well, one father has a guilty conscience. That's Peter. One daughter he doesn't trust, Arya, for Byron.
Okay.
And then one hiding a secret from his daughter.
Well, see, that could be Peter. I guess that's Wayne.
Oh, I guess that's Wayne.
Ooh, yeah.
Sorry, that was hot.
Yeah.
And the other is MIA, a.k.a. Tom, who's always MIA.
Right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Hello. Kate had asked what our thoughts were on the father-daughter dance, this in general, also this framing the episode as a device. Britton adds, was this something that we did in our school? Because it wasn't in hers.
Yeah, fifth grade, there was the father-daughter dance. It was like a father-daughter square dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the last
time.
I
remember a square dance, but I don't remember it being a father-daughter square dance.
Yeah, father-daughter square dance fifth grade is the last time I attended.
Well, that's
anything
cute.
Like that. Yeah. That was fun. I think it's sweet. You know, I think back of, like, you know, I lost my dad. It'll be 20 years in October. So I'm like, oh, maybe that would have been nice to do something like that if I had the chance. But
yeah,
as far as like the storytelling device, I guess it's just to include the fathers. I don't know. I know we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. But I thought this episode was a little lackluster.
It was a little boring.
So
it was a little boring.
Yeah.
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 All right. So Emily, she's dealing now with the fact that Officer Barry has told her that Maya is missing. And she left her parents a note and apparently packed a bag, and now she has left town. Emily doesn't understand why Maya doesn't call her back, and she doesn't know if she's okay, but she assumes that she went through with the plan of her traveling to California to meet with some friends, and it would just have been nice if she, you know, told her that she was alive and well, as Michelle says.
I know. I was like, oh, maybe she's not dead, because I was very passionate about her being dead.
You are. I can't get a call.
Do you want to adjust? I feel very like I can't move because my neck, like, sorry guys, we're you know, this is what happens. I'm gonna take a picture. I'll post it in our Patreon so you guys can see
the ridiculousness
of setting up a live situation.
And it's too many things.
It's too many things.
Too many moving parts. Okay. All right. So Emily walks back into the house to find Hannah sleeping, and Hannah's like, what's up? What did the cops say? And Emily tells her about the situation, and Hannah's like, well, are you going to go to the cops? Emily's like, well, she did what she said she was going to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's technically not missing, but, you know, what am I going to do? I just wish I would know something. So then we have Wayne, who comes into town for the father-daughter dance, which is so special. And he's just happy to be with her, and she's happy to see him. But she's also distracted because she doesn't know what's going on with her and Maya. She just wished that Maya would pick up the phone to call her. And Wayne can sense that something is wrong. And so he helps her. He's like, let's just do an investigation. Like, it's just so sweet, this dynamic and this duo. And they go to the train station because Wayne assumes, you know, that's a cheap way to, not train, sorry, the bus station. It's a cheap way for her to get across the country.
Especially under the radar.
And under the radar. So she tries to talk to the ticket collector, and at first he blows her off, but then Wayne's like, I'm in the service, so.
Look at my army hat.
He's like, tilts his head, sir.
Respect.
Respect me, and I respect you, and. The ticket holder says that he did see her, but he doesn't know where she went because there was the bus there, but then she also was talking to someone in a dark vehicle, potentially black or navy. And when he turned around, she was gone, and so was the car. So he doesn't know if she got on the bus or if she went in the car.
I have to ask. Yeah. I have to ask. Do we have a resolution by the end of the season with her and this car situation?
Yes.
Okay, you were very kind of apprehensive when you were...
I don't know. We take some stuff into next season, so...
With Maya?
Yeah, so...
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll drop it.
We will... Yes. I will say yes.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
When we get there, I'll be like, wait, Liz, you didn't... I'll be like, just give me some grace. I can only give you so much. Right. Also, my memory can only go so far.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. So, after that, Emily takes a shower. And, of course, this is when Maya calls her. And so, when she gets to the phone, she sees she has a missed call. So, she calls Maya right back. But she doesn't answer. And she's unable to leave a voicemail because her voice messages are full. So she's waiting around to see if maybe Maya will call her back, and she doesn't. So she heads to the dance, and she meets her dad there, and he unfortunately tells her that he's going to be deployed to Afghanistan for 6 months.
And he's leaving tonight.
As you do on a television show.
It's always tonight.
You always leave that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mike says, now that Wayne is deployed, do you think Pam will come back this season?
If not this season, then definitely next. I have to ask, is Wayne on the island? Or you don't know?
I want to say no, but I can't confirm that for sure.
No,
I feel like I remember some other stuff, but I'm not sure.
I just really loved him in this episode, so it's sad to see someone we really like go, especially in the parental figure role. Mm-hmm. He was just so supportive of her throughout this entire episode.
Yeah, he was great. Great dad.
Yeah.
The only one in the show.
And the only one I feel like I can trust. Even though he didn't tell her right away that he was... I understood his reasons because he just wanted to like soak up the time with her.
Yeah, he's like, I wanted my weekend. Yeah. You wanted your weekend.
Yeah, and he was upset. He didn't want to bring it up. Right. But I still
feel...
like,
hard.
Yeah, I still feel like I can trust him. I can't trust the other dads.
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely
not. No.
Speaking of those who you can't trust, Melissa...
Oh my God, Melissa.
Michelle's like, what is with her?
Can't trust her either. I can't read this girl. I know.
She really is a mystery. She's a mystery.
Yeah.
But she does tell Spencer what she was doing with Garrett. So she does go where we left off last week. And she tells her that she's been hanging out with Garrett because she feels like Garrett was Ian's friend and her friend. And she vented to him because she feels like Ian did not kill Allison. Or at the time... of Alice, Ian's death, it didn't make any sense to her and didn't sit right. So she's worried that she told Garrett too much. However, she told him a lot, but she's worried that it was too much. We don't see him in this episode, but
it was so weird for her to phrase it like that. Because I feel like it made it seem, as she's telling Spencer about her relationship with Garrett, that like this is a friend, he's been checking up on her. Mm-hmm. And then what would make her think like, oh, maybe I told him too much? So you actually don't really trust him?
Right.
Or you started to get a vibe from him and you're like, oh no, I actually can't trust this person.
I think she initially trusted him and realized that maybe he's not on her side, or that he knows things that he shouldn't, or, you know, it's too soon to tell with that. Truly, honestly, from my memory, I really could be a million things she's referencing that she told him about. So
yeah, right.
Who knows? But she does admit to sending Allison messages about Ian and to back off. And Spencer's like, did you sign these messages? And I'm like, yeah, she's about to tell you she's A right now. Sure. She's like, yeah, she knew where they were from.
She's
like,
Melissa A.
She's Melissa A.
Capital A at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. And just telling Allison to back off because she was flirting with Ian. And she says one day she just came home. She was in a mess from, I guess, witnessing Allie and Ian, or Allie being inappropriate with Ian. And Peter was there as well, and he felt the vibe she was giving off, and he was also giving a vibe. And then apparently when Allie was missing, his vibe just stopped. He's just, they were over it in a positive light. Like, he was almost happy she was gone.
Right. So the video we saw of Melissa, like, going into the room essentially was her trying to, like, just yell at Allie for flirting with Ian.
Basically. Well, at least at this point, is that's what she's telling you, yes.
Yeah, we're to assume.
Mm-hmm. That she was looking for Allie and she wanted to give her a piece of her mind, I guess.
Also, like, maybe you should have a conversation with Ian.
We should have for sure had a conversation with Ian.
Can you just not even entertain this and it'll go away?
Right. But he was a sleazy guy, right. So.
Right.
And then she married him.
And she's having his baby.
But, you know, maybe he did change, even though.
No, he didn't.
It's clear.
He didn't change.
Right. Like, if she knew all that stuff about him in high school.
Right.
And then she married him and then was like, wait, I can't believe you killed Allison. Like, well, I don't know. Maybe you're just in denial about that. But also, maybe he didn't kill Allison.
Yeah, I don't think he killed Allison.
I think at this point,
Isn't that what we all feel that way?
Yeah, we're all understand that it's the bigger picture is that Ian did not kill Allison.
Right.
Yes. So, Spencer also tells Melissa about the $15,000 that Allison had. And Spencer believes that Peter was the one to have given it to Allison. And Melissa's like, I don't know what to believe. And Spencer's like, I don't know what to believe. Mm-hmm. But Melissa's more so believing that, this was Dad. Right. He probably blackmailed her. Paid the blackmail money. So Spencer tells the girls about what she had, the conversation she had with Melissa. Just this conversation again is like the same conversation we have every episode. We find out a little bit. Let's go to the cops. Like we were talking about with Serena last week. Like, let's go to the cops. What are you doing? They're guilty. And it's like, well, she just told you she's not A. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
Should just let her like unfold this a little bit longer. They're like, yeah, I guess that's okay. It's like, what?
I know.
Guys, literally, you have no information. You have no information to go off of. You have no proof. You have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And again, the cops are not on your side. They got Darren and Wilden in there. The two people that want you to see you get locked up. So Darren. I don't get Wilden. Sorry, Wilden and Garrett.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought
Darren and Wilden, but no, right. Wilden and Garrett.
Yeah,
Wilden and Garrett. Two scumbags of the earth on the force. They want to see the girls locked up, even though they're 16 years old. Whatever. So like this whole conversation, I'm like, girls, this is just the same reiteration over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But can't fault the girls because they didn't write it. Sorry. So Spencer heads home and she sees her dad has left her a good old, just good old fashioned diamond necklace.
No big deal.
To wear to the father daughter dance. He's still hopeful that Spencer will want to go with him, and she's not as cold as I'd like her to be.
I know.
She was like, okay, Dad, whatever you want, Dad. I'm like, usually she's very forthcoming about her anger, but also it's they make you feel like Melissa's the one that's really pushing, like, no, this was Dad. And Spencer's like, not sure.
Right, right.
But then later on, she sees that her dad has some old tax files from 2009.
Yeah, like receipts for cash.
Yeah, like lots of receipts that I guess he's kept, you know, kept receipts for when they do taxes or whatever. And so she sees one that's from 2009 written out to cash for $15,000. Of course, it's got to be the same $15,000. You can't just write $15,000 to anyone, right?
Yeah, how coincidental this is.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at the dance, Peter's trying to have a good time with Spencer. He's like, let's take pictures. Let's hang out. Let's dance together. And she's just like too distracted. She doesn't know. And then all of a sudden, she's just like, I know you have you paid out the $15,000. And then after that, he's trying to explain. She's like, let's not do this here. Oh my God. You're the one who brought it up.
She couldn't hold it in anymore.
She couldn't hold it in anymore. And he's like, look, I did not pay it. So she runs outside. She sees a motorcyclist. And she's like, Toby?
Oh, my God. Toby.
Is that you, Toby?
We had a Toby sighting. Maybe.
Maybe.
But she seemed pretty sure. I mean, I would hope that she knows.
Right? Like, she would know if it was his bike and helmet situation.
It's just so weird for him to do a casual drive-by on the father-daughter dance at night. Like, what? I know. What were you seeking?
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that.
Yeah.
Right. So they go back to the house, and he goes into the study because Spencer has told him, look, I broke into your study and I found some things. And so he goes through all the drawers and he realizes that his gun is missing.
Finally.
And Spencer, you know, swears up and down she didn't take it. And so he calls the cops and the cops have to come. And then she sees that he has a whole entire envelope filled with pictures of Allison.
It's a folder.
Yeah. A thick one.
And you know what's so weird? It's like, listen, I've never hired a PI, and so I guess you do have to supply a lot of different images, but this is like stalker level. It's like a lot of close-ups of her face, different angle. It was just a lot, and I feel like the PI probably could have understood the assignment with like
a few.
Like three pictures. They were like cut-out heads. It reminded me of like our Tree Hill Talk days, how I would cut out heads of like Lucas and Peyton. Remember we had the heads on the popsicle sticks?
Good times.
Yeah, but that's what it reminded me of. It was just like all these alley heads in the folder. It was weird.
It was creepy. It was definitely creepy.
It was weird.
Yeah. And so he says, yeah, the $15,000 was for this private investigator and I hired them to find out Allie's whereabouts because I was worried that basically one of my children had killed her. Meaning Melissa. She's like, oh, Jason. He's like, no, Melissa. Melissa, I was worried about her because she was threatening Allison that summer with stuff with Ian. She was really going crazy about it. And so I was worried that she did something to her. And now Melissa's looking really suspicious because she comes in and she's like, I was watching a movie. And Spencer's like, the TV's broken. She's like, I was watching it on the laptop.
I know the way she said, she's like, she says, I don't know.
She's like, I don't know. So I don't know if it's
and
broken.
She's, I don't know if you noticed this, but almost every scene we saw her in, she's holding a bag.
Mm.
Like she's always on the go. She's got
If that's a Tory move. Like she always just had she always has a bag.
It's so weird.
Yeah, and she tells Spencer, like, I can't stay here. Because her OB is apparently, I guess, in Rosewood still.
Yeah.
So she's like, I can't stay here because I don't trust anyone. And if you ever need me, like, come stay with me in Philly. Spencer's like, I'll get right on that.
Sure, Melissa.
Sure, sis.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird. Now Spencer's like, I don't know who to believe. And a lot of our listeners want to know, do you believe Melissa?
No, I don't believe Melissa. I also don't believe Peter. I feel like Spencer, where she's just like, I don't know who to. I'm just as confused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel
all in due time.
Yeah. Maybe Melissa, she's not telling the whole truth, but she's telling her
whole truth. The whole truth. And what's up? Nothing but the truth.
So help me, Bob.
The whole truth.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to move over to Aria and Ella. And she, you know, has heard out Ezra and Arya, which is so nice not to have Ezra in this episode.
So nice.
Every time. Are you guys getting sick of me, like, shitting on Ezra? Sorry.
It's just more exciting, and it's to see Arya by herself. It would have been cute
to see Holden at the father-daughter. Father-daughter.
Well, no, he wouldn't be there, Liz. But, okay.
Nope. He wouldn't have been there. You know how
they could have worked him in if he was DJing?
Yeah, or, like, doing, like, setting up or sets or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, that would be cute. She says to Arya, however, like, even though I heard you out, I still don't know what to make of this. I'm not going to say anything to your father because, like, let's not stir the pot when we don't really know what this is. And Arya's, like, kind of, like, let down about it. I'm like, you really want your dad to know?
I know. And the fact that, like, Ella's maybe on board and she's trying to protect you before your father flips out. Like, I don't know. This was kind of a win for Arya.
Yeah. Like, listen to the adult. She knows what she's doing. She doesn't want to tell your father just now.
This is for the best.
Yeah. So later that day, Arya has this, like, very short but sweet heart-to-heart with Mike, who we haven't seen in so long. And he's trying to shave, even though he doesn't really know if he's doing it the correct way.
Yeah.
But he says to Arya, look, I know what's going on. I know you're not seeing Holden. I know you're seeing Fitz still. And, like, is this really worth it?
Yeah.
And Arya's like, if you love someone, it is.
Mike's
like, huh.
Seems like he spent, like, a month at a retreat. And he's come back with all this wisdom.
I know.
He's so soft-spoken. Like, right? The anger is gone.
I have no anger anymore.
Yeah, so therapy has been working,
I guess. That's great.
Yeah.
His sister could use some, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know if we needed Mike, though, in this episode.
We didn't, and, yeah. It's unfortunate that we brought him in not to really utilize anything with him, but he is going to be helping out DJing at the father-daughter dance. So he's like, I'll see you there. And I really think you should give dad, like, another chance. Like, just do this for him. And so she does appease him and she does go, even though he's like, you're my little girl. And she's like, I'm not, but whatever. And at the dance, he's really, like, pushing it. He's like, let's go take a picture. Let's do this. And she's like, dad, listen, no, it's not the same. Again, I'm not your little girl anymore. And we don't have that same relationship. And I got to go.
Yeah. I mean, as a father, that's got to be really hard to hear.
Yep.
So I felt for him in that moment, even though I don't like Byron Barron, but she is still your little girl.
She's your little girl who has a very, you know, old boyfriend.
Yeah. Like, trying to have a mature relationship.
Right. She has a mature-ish relationship.
Yeah. Right.
So she definitely feels older.
Right.
But to him, she's not. And to us, she's not.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, to your friends, you feel like an adult, right? But your parents will never see you that way until you're physically an adult and you don't live in their house anymore.
Yeah, but you're still their kid. Exactly. You're still their kid.
Yeah. Like, I bet our parents are probably like, oh, God, the time. Like,
yeah.
It's so crazy.
Like, whenever you're sick, like, my mom will be like, oh, my baby.
My mom's like, she hurts when you hurt.
Yes, that's exactly it.
She's always like, oh, like, I would just, like, text her, be like, I have a headache. She'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad.
Right. What can I do?
I'm like, Mom.
Right.
It's a headache, you know?
Right. Exactly. But I think when you're a parent, doesn't matter how old your kid is, they're still your kid.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So she leaves. And then Byron talks to Mike, who's home before everyone.
He's even tucked though he in bed after DJing a party.
Perplexing situation.
What?
However, he says to now Byron that, look, Dad, you're probably too hard on Arya. And then, did you ever ask her why she didn't tell you about her and Ezra? Is it not obvious?
Yeah.
Reason why she didn't tell him.
It's very obvious.
To us, I guess.
Yeah. And didn't they, though? Didn't they have the whole sit down?
They did. Yeah, they did.
And that's when Mike punched him?
Yes.
Right?
Like, yes. They had a conversation while it was, like, much delayed into them spending time together.
Right.
But
yeah,
they did have the conversation.
Yeah.
But again, why would they want to bring that up? Like, we understand why they kept it a secret. Why they still have to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lastly, Hannah. So Wilden contacts Ashley via phone. He's calling the house phone. She's like, why are you calling here? I asked you not to call me here. And he says, did you figure out anything about the incident report? And she's like, I'm still working on it. I think my daughter is being framed. And I'm going to figure it out myself. So as we can to assume, Tom does not come into town for the father-daughter dance. So Ashley suggests that her and Hannah go together. It would be sweet. And Hannah at first is like, that's so lame. But then she opens up to it. She's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, oh, that would have been so cute to see.
Yeah.
But they end up fighting because Ashley meets with Wilden and asks for Ashley to get Hannah's phone because what's on Hannah's phone will be able to help them figure out who's blackmailing her or what Hannah's been up to and where she could potentially have gotten this from. And so she's like, I can't really do that. And then she asks Hannah again, and Hannah doesn't tell her anything for the truth and storms out and upset. And then Mona and Hannah see her in the car with Wilden again, having the discussion about, did you get Hannah's phone? And so Hannah blows up at her and she's like, how could you? I thought we were done with this. And she's like, you're not telling me the truth. I need your phone. I need to figure things out. And so Hannah throws her phone in the sink, in a sink full of dishes and water and soap.
How do you feel about all this? Did our listeners weigh in on this? This is such a tricky situation.
Vic says, what would you have done with the phone? I think truly at this point, I would have given my mom the phone. I would have said, figure out whatever the fuck you can about it because I'm done. I'm so over it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
Well, if you were being threatened, like, A would probably...
I guess...
torture you more, or maybe like somehow I don't know, like, as a parent this is extremely frustrating. Ashley cares, but she's also working with the enemy, quote unquote.
Yeah,
right, because he's just been awful.
Yep,
like there's no one else we can work with on this,
right? Like, we need like above him.
Yeah,
or like a different police department, even though I guess it couldn't work that way.
Yeah, or just someone else on the force that's not him or Garrett.
Right. They just need another contact.
Another contact. Yeah. But this is so tough. And
could say, like, look, I don't trust any of the people here. I probably shouldn't even trust you.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can just keep this on the DL and help me figure this out, I would really appreciate it.
Right. And so now Hannah throws her phone into the dish.
The dish soap.
It's water. So she doesn't have a phone now.
No, she doesn't have a phone. I thought that was... extremely immature, but
she's a teenager.
She's a teenager. I said she's like, she just repels technology. Like when Caleb had the flash drive, she threw it in the blender. Now she's throwing the phone in the sink.
Yeah, it's like she doesn't care, or right? Or she's like acting before thinking.
Right, exactly.
I never had that in me as a teenager. Like, my sister was that person. Like, my sister would just throw a piece of technology and it would break. And then afterwards, she'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
I never did that. I never was.
Yeah. I was somewhere, like, in between. Like, sometimes I would just be, like, do something and then not think. And, like, not think. And then most of the time, I'd be like, wait, that will break. So.
I probably shouldn't do that.
Or my sister when we were kids and she got so mad that she just, like, put her heel like against the wall and her heel went through the drywall and then she was even more upset because she's like, shit, now I ruined the wall. And it's just like,
you know. I know. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely done things, but like more to like hurt Sam. Mm-hmm. Like one time when I was a kid, I was like really good at putting things together. My parents just didn't have the patience for it, so I put together Sam's dollhouse. It was like a castle, and then Sam pissed me off, so I took it and I just threw it down the stairs. It was like Lego style, and it went everywhere, and I was like, deal with it. I'm not putting this back together.
Wow, she's savage.
I was savage. So I've done stuff like that, but not my own pieces of technology as a teenager.
I was more like, I would just like say things hot off the press, like not thinking, and I was constantly in my room, constantly. And I'm the type of person, I'm still to this day, like, see red, and then 3 seconds later I'm like, what's wrong? What's happening? Why is everyone so mad at me? Like, whoa. We're fine.
Yeah.
Still like that as a, I'm trying to work through that as an adult.
BNT, bitch nauseous tenio.
However, I saw, to go on a tangent, I saw this TikTok that I had to send to my mom, my sister, and I'll show you when we get off, and maybe I'll post on Patreon, because it was me as a kid to a T. He runs in the room, slams a door, fake screams like, and like throwing himself, pretending to choke himself. Like, it was like the funny, then packing his bags, looking at the door and being like, no, I can't leave. Like, it was just so funny. I was like, that was me. And then I would like walk out and be like, I thought about it. I'm fine now. Can I come out?
Wow.
So I can see a little bit of all the sides. Like, I have that Hannah thing in me, but I usually don't let it come out. When I was a kid, though,
yeah,
didn't break technology, but yeah. I would, my mouth would, you would hear it. Mm. You would hear it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So because of all this incident report and everything, now Hannah's like, my mom will not let this go. My mom knows about A, and then Aria's like, my mom knows about A, and what do we do about this situation? And of course Mona's like, what's the A situation? What are we doing? Like, let's get together. Of course,
a new member
of the club.
I have to know, were you guys laughing? I mean, maybe not on your second watch, but like, I forgot that she's now part of the club.
I know she's part of
and
the,
so she's
the
just
club.
Like, okay guys, what are we doing?
Well, even the they minutes. Forgot they're like, wait, like, do, what do we say in front of Mona?
Right. Oh, you're here.
Yeah. So Mona's like, I can come up with a plan, but I can't lie because I'm so bad at it. I'm like, oh, sure, girlfriend. She's like, who's the best liar of the group? And they all immediately point to Aria, which I'm like, yes, I think that's accurate. I think she's the most beautiful liar that we have on this show.
Yeah.
Kate asked, did we agree?
Yeah.
I think we could agree.
Yeah.
So she goes to see Ashley, and she tells Ashley that she's the one who gave this to Hannah because she was trying to scare her out of not shoplifting anymore, and that she completely fabricated and photoshopped this whole report. I'm like, wouldn't Wilden know that this is a real incident report? I don't understand. Yes. I'm so confused by this whole thing.
The girls don't think that far. I mean, obviously Ashley's like, okay, they're full of shit.
Right. She knows they're full of shit.
Right. So I don't think they even considered that, like, an expert would, you know, or someone who deals with this on the daily would look at this and be like, oh yeah, this isn't real.
Yeah.
You know, or this is real, right?
Yeah.
They didn't think that far. I mean, I have to give them props. Like, it's good on them.
Yeah. She's like, A for Anonymous, A for Aria.
Yeah.
They're back in the day, and as we progress with the show, people were like, Aria is A.
Yeah.
Everything with Aria is A. Like, it just makes sense. And so I'm like, are we starting that here with, like, well, and even there was a part where Mona's like, hey, big A, like, to Aria, remember, in the hall? And like, everyone would just like completely
like fixate on that.
Fixate on all the things with Aria and A. I just thought that was funny.
I mean, you know what? It would be interesting if one of them in the group was A.
Wouldn't that be?
Yeah. I mean, Aria begins with and ends with A.
Mm.
Hmm. Interesting.
The only other person that has A is Hannah.
And Mona.
And Allison.
And Mona.
A lot. Melissa. They all have A's.
Yeah, right.
However, yes. So, as you said, Ashley's like, I'm not buying it. So she tells Ella, your daughter came here. She spewed some lies at me. And I really don't know what to do about A. This is a continuation of everything that's going on with them. And Ella says, well, I don't think we should involve the cops because Aria has a lot riding on this. Like, A knows things about Aria that does not need to come out.
Yeah.
AKA Ezra. And whatever else.
Right, and it can hurt her.
Right, could hurt her reputation. Like, the things that her and Byron have been talking about without anyone knowing. And now Ashley's like, but she kind of did tell the cops. Like, she told Wilden.
Right.
Who's a cop. Well, he's a detective now, but.
Yeah.
Kat asks, was Ella right to stop Ashley from telling the cops?
Right. I don't know if it's right. I'm just glad these two are having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Same. It's just nice to see and again, I will reiterate, but like, I did not remember how much parenting talks about A we had in the beginnings of the show.
I mean, just because they are having the conversation, it didn't make it seem like Ashley wasn't going to go to the cops.
Right.
It just, Ella just gave her 2 cents. So I guess now I'm to assume she doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. I feel like if we want this show to continue.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, she wouldn't go to the cops.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. To sum it all up, we then have Hannah and Aria discuss, you know, did my mom buy it? And Aria's like, I guess. I'm like, she didn't, but okay. And at that point, Aria gets a call from Jonah. So we don't hear what Jonah has to say, but the girls drive to a town called Brookhaven, which is funny because we're in the town of Brookhaven as well here, mm-hmm. where we live. And Michelle's like, it's not even a different set, though. It's the same set. They didn't even try make it look like a different town.
That's Miss Patty's in the background.
Yeah. Didn't even try to make a different town. However, he told them that another number was pinging to that area of one of the phone numbers that Vivian had given him. And so they're looking around and they do see a doll repair shop.
Yeah, it's like a doll hospital.
Doll heads and legs and all the weird creepy things in the window, which creep Michelle out for sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're kind of similar to the dolls that were in the wooden boxes. And the girls are like, huh, that's interesting. And so Aria says, I'm cold. I'm going to go get a jacket from Spencer's car. And of course, the only jackets there is Vivian's jacket. So she puts it on, and a man named Duncan from the captions, which we'll learn next week, says, Vivian? And that's where we end the episode, except for the last scene where we have A, picking up a magazine. Picking out the newspaper with a picture of Maya and missing on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but listeners want to know your predictions about Duncan. What's that situation?
I have no idea. Duncan, well, obviously something with Vivian. Maybe it has to do something with the money. Maybe we're going to figure out where she got the $15,000 from.
Oh, yeah.
What he was up with. Maybe he's involved with that. We all know about this red coat. And Spencer's like, Aria, I know you're cold. I have to go back to this. I'm sorry. I know you're cold. I have something in my trunk. So she goes to the trunk.
And that's what she takes.
I don't know if Spencer meant to grab the red coat.
Right. No, you mean Aria?
No, Spencer told Aria.
Spencer didn't mean take the red coat.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Spencer meant like, yeah, you're cold. I have something in my trunk. Go grab the red coat.
Right. She could have said, well, I guess I have Vivian's coat in my car. Like,
right. You know. Like, there was probably something next to it.
Right. It's, you know. For the dramatic effect, Duncan sees Vivian.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand about this is Jonah gave them what he told Vivian, got his payment for it. Yeah. Why are you calling them after the deal was done to give further information? Like, that was unnecessary. I mean, I'm sure they're glad that he did.
Yeah.
But his job was done.
Maybe just
unless they like reached out to him again, was like, if you find anything else.
Yeah.
But like, why would he?
Yeah.
It was a while ago now that he researched these numbers. Like, why would he have any of that, like, stored? I don't know. It just seemed weird to me.
Maybe Duncan got in touch randomly. And because, like, you're right. Like, what does he have in it? What is the stakes for him? He got his money.
Right.
Why would he continue this search?
Right.
Yeah, this is weird. I don't know who Duncan is. I just think he's involved with the $15,000.
Okay.
Maybe he's the PI. Maybe. I don't know how that would connect. She found out someone was stalking her, turned out to be the Hastings PI, and Duncan's a part of that. Or Vivian was asking about a PI following her friend Allison. I don't know. I'm trying to make fetch happen, and it's not happening.
It's Pretty Little Liars. Fetch will never happen.
Yeah.
Okay. It will never happen.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And that's what I got. Just stay tuned because we have a little special Woo-hoo. Announcement. We also have a message from A that I had to translate from being in Spanish. So we'll be right back. All right, here is our message from A, which came in as soon as we were done with the Discord chat.
And it was in Spanish?
And it was in Spanish, so this is the translation.
Hello, girls. A little bird told me that you have been looking for a certain person. You will have to wait a little. I have been entertaining this beautiful soul, showing it all the wonderful things that my country has to offer. So you will have to be patient. Take a 220.
What?
Well, I don't want, I wonder if, because it had XX, like maybe like hugs, but they, in Spanish, it they translated that to 20.
Take a 2XX.
Yeah, they said take a 220.
Oh, when they read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, because, wait, so is Maya in a Spanish-speaking country? Is Maya in Mexico?
Not that I know of.
This is,
and then they put salad with beer mugs. I think maybe you meant salute. Anyway, then they say, hey bitches, I'm on a little vacay right now, but I was inspired by the city, so I had Jose here send you a quick message. I wonder what he said. He sounds seductive. He belongs in a telenovela. I don't have a lot of time. The service here sucks, but the drinks are amazing. Adios. Well, my my voice read it in a female voice. So if that was Jose, sorry, Jose.
What the heck?
There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt. You know who.
You think this is Michael?
Absolutely.
He's in a Broadway show right now.
He's scheduled. Because he wants you to, I know he is, but he's scheduled. You can schedule emails.
Oh my gosh. This.
Piece of hair. It's like.
This is a creative one.
Yeah, like they're on vacation, aka Mike, who's in New York as we speak.
Yeah.
Seeing a Broadway show.
Yeah. Wow.
Can't talk.
Can't talk.
Oh. But why in Spanish? Because last time you said it in Italian. What is next week going to be in French? It would be easy if it was in French. French Canadian, huh? That would be easy for you, Mike.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. Well, thank you, A.
Grasping at Charles. Yeah. Thank you, A.
Thank you, A.
Well, speaking of Mike, I guess I'll just go into the ice cream real quick.
Okay.
It won't be real quick, but... Licky Leon's ladle this week, which is Cold Stone Creamery's Cheesecake Fantasy. Now, when you wrote this, Mike, I had this just like visceral reaction to gagging because for those of you who don't know, growing up, I worked at Cold Stone for several years. I was the assistant manager. No big deal. However, when you would wash the pan of a cheesecake ice cream, you can only imagine how disgusting it is. The smell of cheesecake ice cream with hot water being poured on it is just a smell you'll never get over. So thank you for choosing this cheesecake ice cream. That was probably one of the flavors I would not go near at Cold Stone.
Yeah. Well, great. Can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, so it's cheesecake ice cream with graham cracker, crust, blueberries, and strawberries. It's a nice combination.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a father-daughter dance at Rosewood High this episode, which represents the cheese part of the cheesecake ice cream. As for the fantasy part, some of our characters are living in a fantasy. The liars think Ashley bought the lie that Aria wrote the police report. Come on, ladies. Ashley is smarter than that. Baron is still living the fantasy that Arya is his little girl while they are at the dance. The strawberries and blueberries represent the pink and blue candy theme they went for at the dance. And speaking of the set, Chad Lowe had tweeted that they wanted the set to look like a Katy Perry bedroom. Is that his fantasy? LOL. 2 scoops out of 5. Yeah.
Oh, that's good, Mike. That's good.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
I also read about the Katy Perry thing. Before we do MVP and shittiest, I think we want to just tease something really, really fast.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just a fun thing coming for the summer where Michelle and I are going to do, a little Patreon only podcast.
Yeah. An exclusive.
Exclusively.
It's Pretty Little Liars themed. So
And that's all we'll say for now.
That's all we're going to say for now. We're going to tease a little bit each week. But I'm really excited for this, guys.
Yeah. And it's something I think even, you know, newbies will be able to participate in. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stay tuned.
Good times. All right. So do you have an MVP and shittiest? TBH, I didn't write anything.
I do. I have an MVP.
I think I have an MVP as well.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Three, two, one, Wayne.
Yes. Yeah. MVP. He was the best in this episode.
Yeah. The parents are just parenting. So it's great.
Yeah.
But it's refreshing to see Wayne because we don't see him all that often. And he just was a great soundboard for Emily and helped her out and just cared for her.
I know. I'm sad that this is it. I mean, not that we haven't seen him, but now that I know for 6 months.
I know. Now you're guaranteed not to see him.
Right. Right.
For a while. Shittiest? I feel like a lot of people could be shitty here.
Yeah, I struggled with this. I didn't write anybody down.
I feel like, obviously, Wilden, but, like, he's sort of, like, selfishly trying to help Ashley.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see in the chat. What do you guys think? Since we're live tonight, send us your
shittiest
live. Yeah, I don't know. You know, Hannah was a little defiant.
I was just going to say, Hannah was bothering me a little bit in this episode.
I get it.
Right.
And everyone else is just kind of like shady, right? Like, we don't know who to trust. Does that make them shitty?
Right. No. Shady is different than shitty.
Yeah. Vic said Melissa.
Melissa.
Yeah.
She's just shady, though.
Like, we just don't know. We just don't know. Part of me, I'm like, is that baby even, like, is that a real baby stomach?
Right? Because it's been, like, so long.
Are we going to get a baby shower? Or are we just going to come back in season 3 and it's just going to be
I think they talked here? About
a baby shower.
A baby, like they had done a baby shower for her. We don't see it, but I think they had like mentioned it in passing. I could be absolutely making that up, but it's something sounds familiar about someone getting her something she said in passing at Melissa's baby shower or something.
Does Melissa work
now?
Do we know?
She's a student.
She's a student. Okay.
Maybe she's going for like a master's or a doctorate or something like that because she talks about class.
Yes, you're right.
And living in Philly.
She's a grad student?
Maybe she's a grad student. I'm not really sure what she does.
Kat, can you Kat,
anyone? Off? Someone help?
Do you know?
I don't really think. I think maybe she's in law school or maybe she's trying. I really don't know.
Okay.
I think she's just getting an education.
Okay.
Good for her. You know.
All right.
Maybe she has a little on campus job or something because like you need some funds. She has an apartment by herself.
Her parents.
Oh, that's true. Her parents probably pay for it.
Yeah, her parents probably. Yeah.
So there we go. We made the solution. We got it.
Okay.
What about a cringy situation?
I did not find this episode cringy. I found it lackluster. So on a lackluster scale, it's pretty high. It's a pretty high lackluster.
Well, Mike says a 2 out of 5.
Yeah,
I would give it a 2 out of 5. You know.
Yeah.
Like 5 being obviously the highest.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I agree with that. The 2 scoops out of 5.
I do too.
It was just compared to the others that we've been watching, this one was kind of lame. Just to go back to what Melissa does, Kat says a ready cert and a grad student at law. And then Daphne is saying, I thought she was also trying to be a doctor. That's how she met Ren.
Oh. Oh, it's very possible.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, she's doing something of higher education. So thank you all for
clarification.
I just have to give you the title for next week.
Yeah, and let's do it.
My little tiny, I have a little secret today. Not a huge secret, but a little one.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, so for episode 23, this is the pre-penultimate episode.
The penultimate to the penultimate.
The penultimate to the penultimate.
The Christmas Eve Eve.
Yes, it is titled Eye of the Beholder.
Okay.
And my secret.
I've got a secret.
Is that Toby is back in town? So that, I guess technically that was Toby on the motorcycle.
I figured.
Yeah. So what do you think Toby's going to be up to? Because we're going to have him like in it.
Yeah, man. Toby's back. Okay. Well, that's really exciting. I hope that. I mean, I feel like he's still going to be a little cold towards Spencer. So it's not like things are going to be back to normal.
Do you think he's
going to
tell anyone where he was?
No, I don't think we're going to find out.
What do you think, if anything, brought him back to town?
I think he saw Maya get into a car.
What?
And I think he's going to shed some knowledge on that.
Okay.
So that's what I think. Yeah, I don't think he's gone too far, but I think he's going to say, like, hey, Emily, I know you were with Maya. He would know that, right? Or he knows Maya.
Yeah, he would know that her and
he would, her and so Maya. So I think he saw something, and he's going to be the one to kind of fill Emily in on her whereabouts. I'm going back and forth if I still think she's dead.
Mm. Right.
Arnie still thinks that, right? I know, I was like really passionate last week.
She was.
I'm still going to think it.
Okay.
Just why not?
All righty.
What about?
Can't help it, guys.
Yeah. What about my boy, Caleb? Do we see him next week?
You know, I watched that episode so long ago that it's hard for me to remember.
Lucas?
No, not Lucas. But this Duncan, we do get a lot of airtime with Duncan.
Okay, cool. So airtime with Duncan. And he gives some
Vivian information.
Yeah, okay. And I think Duncan's related to the PI situation. And I think Toby is going to tell Emily about, like, some Maya details.
Okay. Love it.
Thank you.
I can't wait.
Me too.
I cannot believe again.
Here she says it.
We are so close to the end. Anyway, we're episode 23 next week. Like I said, in 2 more weeks, we will be at the finale. So if you would like to join us live, head over to our Patreon and join our Upper East Siders tier, because that is where we do our live podcast, our Discord chat.
Yeah.
It's just, and we'll have a new Discord chat channel for our new podcast. So you might want to join. It's going to hang out with us.
It's going to be good. We're really excited. Yes. We've never done another thing. We've never done something like
this before. We've never done something like this before.
So
we've never ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever. I know. Ever.
Wow.
Ever,
new.
Ever.
Yes. So, we're going to go and we'll be back next week for another episode.
Thank you. Thanks, friends in the live.
Yay, live.
Thank you so much for listening to We Are Liars, a Pretty Little Liars podcast. You can email us at weareliarspod@gmail.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voice message or just say hi, we have a voicemail, 631-600-3916. If you haven't already and you're loving the show, please consider giving us a rating and review.
This has been a Total Betty podcast, produced and edited by Michelle Rubenstein and Alyssa Daly, music by Anthony Vacora.